Welcome to Britt David Podcast and a message today entitled, Why Should I Believe in the Resurrection? From Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. On that first Easter night, with the disciples of Jesus fearfully hiding in the upper room, the glorified Jesus mysteriously appears in their midst. They know that he's dead, so they presume they are seeing a ghost. But in the encounter, as Luke describes it, Jesus clearly demonstrates to them that he is no ghost. Rather, he gives them good reason to believe that he has been raised from the dead. And this gives us good reason to believe that he has been raised from the dead. Here's Pastor Tim.
It may surprise you to learn that there is more evidence both inside the Bible and outside the Bible for the validity of the resurrection of Jesus than there is that George Washington ever lived. He was our first president. I don't know of anybody who would question, no American who would question, that George Washington really lived and he really was our first president. And yet we find those who want to argue that the resurrection really never happened, that maybe even Jesus himself never really lived. Is there real reason to believe in Jesus? Is there real reason to believe in the resurrection? I want you to know that there is. You know, when I think about those circumstances that make up the resurrection itself, I think about, first of all, Jesus' death. His death on the cross is a real, legitimate, dying death. Attested to by the soldiers, the soldier who thrust his spear into Jesus' side, the centurion who looked and said, certainly this was the Son of God, one that is confirmed by Pilate as he turns the body over then to Joseph. Jesus' burial is attested to by Joseph of Arimathea, by Nicodemus who accompanies him, by the women also who are there who go to the tomb and make note of exactly which tomb and where his body really is laid. And then you come to the resurrection 3 days later, and you have him being seen by Mary Magdalene. Last week we looked at the journey on the road to Emmaus and those two disciples. Tonight we get to look at this meeting that Jesus just appears in with those disciples while they're hiding out for fear. You know, and that happens on two different occasions. We have the occasion of him meeting with Peter. You've got him meeting with 500 people all at once. There is good reason to believe in the historicity of the resurrection. And I tell you that for really for this primary reason. Our faith is not a blind faith. Our faith is not based on myth. Our faith is based in fact, and it's based in history. And so when you come to the Bible and you come to the Gospels themselves, sometimes we question why there are four, but the fact that there are four adds to the validity of these stories. Each one of them are not identical, you know, quadruplets of one another. There's a little bit of distinction here, a little bit of distinction there. There's a story that's put in one and a story that's left out in others. It goes to help us to see that this is not some coordinated effort to fool people. Instead, it's people writing down their experiences, what they've seen and what they've heard. And it's not a once upon a time kind of story, is it? It's not a fairy tale and they all lived happily ever after. This is biographical history where the writers are able to say, at this particular time, in this particular place, these particular historical individuals. And it gives us one more really good reason to believe. I want you to know tonight that, and I don't think there's really anybody in this room that would say, well, I'm just kind of on the fence about the resurrection. But there are people who are. And when that happens, it does not leave them with faith. It doesn't leave them with confidence. It doesn't leave them with any kind of idea that God is alive and real and cares about them and can take care of them. Resurrection makes all of that difference in everything about life. I want us tonight, as we're working our way through the Gospel of Luke, we're in chapter number 24. We're almost to the end. And as this end comes, as the resurrection of Jesus has already happened, he's had that time with those disciples on the road to Emmaus. They have now come back, you recall at the very end of that passage, come back and found those disciples where they're hiding out and have reported to them how their hearts burned within them while Jesus talked to them on the road. They've told them all of these things. And then Jesus shows up. That's the passage I want you to see today. In fact, let's just read it together. Beginning, if you will, in verse number 36. The Bible says, "Now as they said these things," who are the they? The they are those two disciples on the road to Emmaus who have come back to tell the disciples. "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you.' But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit or a ghost. And he said to them, 'Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have.' When he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, 'Have you any food here?' So they gave him a piece of broiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence." Those final three words, "in their presence," matter. They are eyewitnesses of these things that have happened. And they're saying, "We have seen Jesus. We saw him die on the cross. We saw him placed in a tomb. And now we have seen him alive, and we attest and testify to the fact that Jesus really is alive, and we are watching him." During this entire exchange, right here in the midst of us, we see Jesus at work. There are three things I want to share with you tonight out of this passage about Jesus' appearance and what that does for me. Me, even today. In fact, you're going to see as it goes through, it takes them a little minute to catch up. But what this should do, his appearance amongst those disciples should do for me, what his appearance among those disciples should do for you. Here we go. Number one, his appearance makes me not worry. His appearance makes me not worry. You see, we come to this passage and we come to this place from a standpoint of faith, from a standpoint of belief. We believe in Jesus. We believe Jesus died. We believe Jesus was buried. We believe Jesus was raised from the dead. And so when we look at this story, it's almost like it's not news to us. It's not. There's not something in here, knowing the story, that we don't. Nothing surprises us. We know how this is going to turn out. We know that he's really there. Imagine, however, if you are those disciples. You've heard the reports already from multiple people that Jesus is alive, but you saw him dead. You saw him buried. And I mean, I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody raised from the dead before. So, you know, I'm kind of thinking in my head, they're saying these things, but I'm not so sure that's really what's happening. You know. I don't buy into that twin theory. I don't buy into that mistaken identity theory, any of that kind of stuff. But it just makes me wonder, you know, if I'm one of those disciples. And then suddenly, boo. That's what I wish Jesus would have said instead of "peace to you." I wish he'd just said boo. But he doesn't. He gets right there in the midst of their presence. Now, it doesn't say how he gets there. We know that he is in this glorified body, that it is unique and distinctive, that it has ability and power different than what you and I are used to. Could he have walked through a wall? Sure. Could he have opened the door and come in? Sure. The Bible just doesn't say. Does he kind of like that? Is he just kind of poof appear in the midst of them? I don't know. What it says is, while they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. It tells me that they did not know that he was there, even if he was there. Now, could he have hidden his identity? He did for Mary. He did from those disciples on the road to Emmaus. He could have done that again, couldn't he? But at some point, when Jesus speaks, they know that that is Jesus who is there. Or they should know that. Mary did. When Jesus spoke her name, that's when they knew. When Jesus revealed himself to those disciples on the road to Emmaus, they knew. These disciples are having a little bit of trouble. And you will too if you don't believe. If you don't believe in the resurrection, if you don't really believe that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised again, what can you expect to be going on in your heart? It's right here in your passage. Look, if you will, in verse number 37. This is what you can expect. They were terrified and they were frightened. That's what you can expect. A person who does not trust in Jesus, a person who doesn't know Jesus, who doesn't walk with him day by day by day, life is scary. Life is terrifying. Life is frightening. There's so much out there that wants to hurt me, so to speak. And yet I can walk through this life and not worry because I do believe. Because I do believe that he's with me. And I do see that he's with me. And I see what he's doing. Now, if he's not really there, if that's not really the resurrected Jesus, then what are they seeing? What are they thinking? Again, you've got it there in verse number 37. They have supposed, they have rejected the idea that it could possibly be Jesus. Even though they've been told that he's raised from the dead, they still have rejected the idea that it could possibly be him. And so what could it be? It must be his ghost. It must be a spirit. In fact, this entire passage really is dedicated to the idea that Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, is not a spirit and not a ghost. And in this passage, he offers you these three different pieces of evidence. Number one is his speaking. His speaking. Jesus doesn't appear in the midst of them and say, "Ooh." He didn't say that. He doesn't even say boo. He says, "Peace to you." And it's not just some little short phrase, is it? By the time you get down to verse number 38 and 39, he's speaking long. He's speaking in all of those verses. His speaking is enough to give me reason to believe this is not some kind of ghost. Number two, it's not just his speaking, but his skin, his body. Remember what he said there in verse number 39? He says, "A spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." I have flesh. I have bones. I'm not a spirit. I'm not a ghost. I'm real. His speaking, his skin, and his supper. Or maybe it's just a snack. I don't know how much about a broiled piece of fish. But anyway, that's what he got. Broiled fish and a honeycomb. And it says that he ate them in their presence. And the point is that these ghosts don't eat. And so what we're talking about is not some spirit. It's not something that's made up in their head. Jesus really is there. So if it really is Jesus, if he really is there and he says to you, "Peace to you," shouldn't you have his peace? The most powerful, if I can use this term, person the most powerful person on the planet, tells you to be at peace, you have reason to be at peace. When it's not just the most powerful person, but it is God Himself telling you, be at peace, you have reason to be at peace. His appearance gives me good reason not to worry. I don't have to worry about these things. Why are they in this room? Why is it that Jesus didn't just come to the door and open it up and come in and announce Himself? The Bible says that they are there hiding for fear of the Jews. What's their fear? They're afraid that what's happened to Jesus is going to happen to them. That makes sense, doesn't it? If they go after the prophet and they really want to squelch this whole movement, if they want to strangle it in its crib, then they not only have to take out Jesus, which apparently now they have done, now it's time to go after those leaders. It's time to go after those disciples. And if they can find them, by the way, as best I understand it, they are in a house right across the street from the high priest's house. They're not far. They are right there where they can be taken advantage of, or where they can be taken out. In all likelihood, they had guards at the door. In all likelihood, the door was locked. They are worried. They are frightened and they are terrified. But Jesus makes a bigger difference, doesn't He? He says, you've not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have the Spirit of God living within you. You have no reason to worry. You know, we come to that verse in Philippians and we say, well, you know, I mean, I know the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. Or in some of your translations, don't worry about anything. We think, well, that's just not possible. It is possible if Jesus is raised from the dead. It is. If Jesus is raised from the dead, you don't have anything to fear. You don't have anything to worry about. Because just like Paul said, what is the worst that they can do to you? Kill you? Then you just get to go to be in heaven. Paul even said, if I had a choice to stay here or to go to heaven, I'm not even sure which one of those I'd choose. You don't have anything to fear or anything to worry about unless you give yourself reason to worry, to fear, and to be terrified. And the saddest part of this is that there are Christians and believers who walk through their Christian life afraid. You don't have to be. His appearance makes me not worry.
Join us tomorrow as Pastor Tim continues his message, Why Should I Believe in the Resurrection? From Luke chapter 24, verses 36 through 43. Pastor Tim would love to connect and share with you about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and how you can know that you know that Jesus is your Savior and Lord. That address is churchoffice@brittdavid.org. We are located at 2801 West Britt David Road, Columbus, Georgia, 31909. Thanks again for joining us here on Britt David Podcast.